আল্লাহু আকবার। الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا إنا أعتدنا للكافرين سلاسل وأغلالا وسعيرا إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نظرة وسرورا وجزاهم بما صبروا جنة وحريرا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. متكئين فيها على الأرائك لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا ودانية عليهم ظلالها وظللت قطوفها تظليلا ويطاف عليهم بآنية من فضة وأكواب كانت قواريرا قوارير من فضة قدروها تقديرا ويسقون فيها كأسا كان مزاجها زنجبيلا عينا فيها تسمى سلسبيلا ويطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون إذا رأيتهم حسبتهم لؤلؤا منثورا. الله أكبر. سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله إن شاء الله دعا کے بعد حضرت مولانا یوسف صاحب دیر تشریف لائے ہیں ماشاءاللہ بڑی قربانی دے کر الحمدللہ دین کی بات پہنچانے کے لیے یہاں پر تشریف لاتے ہیں اللہ تعالیٰ شرف قبولیت سے نوازے تندرستی کے ساتھ خیر عافیہ کے ساتھ اللہ ان کی زندگی میں برکت نصیب فرمائے میں تمام مسلموں کی طرف سے اور نوجوان ینگستر کی طرف سے اور انتظامیہ کی طرف سے دل کی گہرائیوں سے ان کا شکریہ ادا کرتا ہوں اور اللہ سے دعا کرتے ہیں کہ اللہ ان کی زندگی میں خوب برکت نصیب فرمائے اور ان کے علم سے ان کے فیوجہ سے اللہ تعالیٰ پورے عالم کو مستفید فرمائے. آج حضرت مولانا کا جو موضوع ہے, جو توفیق ہے, جو بیان کا عنوان ہے, وہ ماشاء اللہ بہت زبردست ہے. یعنی جو ہمارا اصلی وطن ہے اس کے متعلق, کیونکہ ہم سب کا اصلی وطن کہاں ہے؟ جنت ہے. ہماری نیشنلٹی نہ یو کے ہے, نہ ساؤتھ افریقہ ہے, اور نہ یو ایس ہے. ہماری نیشنلٹی جنت ہے, کیونکہ ہمارے بابا آدم اور ماں حوا کہاں تھے بولو پہلے؟ جنت میں. تو ہماری نیشنلٹی انشاءاللہ ہم تمام کا اصلی وطن جنت ہے. تو جنت کے عنوان کے اوپر حضرت انشاءاللہ قرآن آیات سے احادیث سے بیان کریں گے, اور جو حور عین کو کھولیں گے, حور عینہ کو کھولیں گے, تو تم سب یہاں کی چیزوں کو بھول جاؤ گے, جنت کی نہروں کو, جنت کے مکانات کہ جس کا فاؤنڈیشن مشک زعفران کا ہوگا, اور ایک اینٹ سونے کی, ایک اینٹ چاندی کی. اور جو گاڑیوں کا تذکرہ کریں گے تو یہاں کی فراری کو بھول جاؤ گے, یہاں کی مرسیڈیز کو بھول جاؤ گے, یہاں کی لیموجین کو بھول جاؤ گے, ایسی سواریاں وہاں پر ہوگی. مختلف آیات کے ذریعے سے انشاءاللہ جنت کو کھولیں گے. تو میں درخواست کرتا ہوں تمام سے کہ آخری دن بھی ہے, تو انشاءاللہ تھوڑی دیر کے لیے قربانی کر بیٹھو, انشاءاللہ بہت فائدہ ہوگا. دین کی باتوں کو سنیں گے تو دل میں طلب پیدا ہوگی, شوق پیدا ہوگا, شوق پیدا ہوگا تو پھر اعمال کے اوپر زندگی کو ڈالنا آسان ہوگا. تو اللہ تعالی ہمیں عمل کی توفیق نصیب فرمائے. تو تمام حضرات سے درخواست ہے کہ ضرور بیٹھے. اور اسی طرح ساؤتھ افریقہ کی جماعت آئی ہے, ان میں ماشاءاللہ ایک مولانا زید کر کے ہیں, تو مولانا زید یا جنید ایسا نام ہے, تو وہ بھی ماشاءاللہ گزشتہ کل عصر بعد بھی جو انہوں نے بیان کیا تھا خاص, کہ بھائی اللہ نے وعدہ کیا ہے تو دین کی حفاظت کا وعدہ کیا ہے, اور ایمان والوں کی حفاظت کب ہوگی؟ کہ جب ایمان والے دین کے خاطر جانی اور مالی قربانی دیں گے تو حفاظت ہوگی, جس طریقے سے صحابہ کرام نے دی. تو اس کے اوپر ان کا آج گزشتہ کل بیان ہوا, تھوڑا باقی رہ گیا کچھ دوسرے پروگرام کی وجہ سے, تو انشاءاللہ آج وہ اپنے اس بیان کو عصر بعد پورا کریں گے. تو عصر بعد بھی بیٹھنے کی کوشش کریں, اللہ عمل کی توفیق نصیب فرمائے. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. اللہم انا علی ذکرک و شکرک حسن عبادتک. اللہم ارحمنا بترک المعاصی بدل ما وقیتنی ولا تشن باسی. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها انت خير من زكاها. رضينا بالله ربا وبالاسلام دينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. رضيت بالله ربا بالإسلام دينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه برحمتك. بیٹھو بھائی تھوڑی دیر بیٹھو.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حامدا ومصليا ومسلما. Starting off on a lighter note, back in 2013 to 2018 in town we used to have a dawah stall in which we have Islamic literature and invite non-Muslims towards Islam. In the winter we'd have a tent so people could be safe from the rain, and on our tent we had a banner saying what is paradise. So there was a non-Muslim young lad, 12 years old, with his mother going past, and he said, yes, I know what's paradise. We go, what's paradise? He goes, a takeaway. So Allah Ta'ala unko hidayat de. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Respected listeners, we've not come into this world to live here forever. If anyone was to live here forever, it would have been the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for whom dunya was created. And that's why when he passed away alayhi salatu wasalam, Siddiq said, man kana ya'budu muhammadan fa inna muhammadan qad mat, wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut. And oh my companions, whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then let him know that he has passed away. But he who used to worship Allah, let him know Allah is ever living and does not die. So friends, if death was not destined for anyone, it would have been the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. We have not come into this world to live forever. This place, this world is only a transit to the hereafter. And this world in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds no significance. Open the hadith of Ahmad and Tirmidhi. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if dunya, this world that today we boast over, our youngsters, they have a Versace, Prada, Jobiho, and they walk around town as if they've managed to buy an entire property. Our youngsters, they have a nice car and they think, mashallah, we've gained dunya wa ma fiha. But the hadith mentions that if dunya equated to even the wing of a mosquito, meaning that dunya does not equate to the wing of a mosquito. If dunya equated to the wing of a mosquito, Allah Ta'ala would not give a disbeliever even a sip of water. This is the value of dunya in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Open Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a sheep which was dead. Marra bijadin asakka mayit. He passed by a sheep who was dead, but the sheep was also defected. It had an ear cut off, according to the Hashia of Mishkat. Now, my friends, those who know animals, when an animal is defected, the value of that animal decreases. When it's dead, it has no value. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam asked, oh my companions, which one of you would like to buy the sheep in exchange of one dirham, 1 pound? That comes to mind, you know, subhanAllah, my friends, today everyone wants to go to 1 pound shop, the bargain shop. Why? Because you might find something for a pound. And the Messenger of Islam asked the Sahaba, my companions, which one of you would like to buy this sheep for 1 pound? And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, even if it was given for free, we would not take the sheep. It's dead, it's defected, no use. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, Wallahi la dunya ahwan ala Allah min hadha alaykum. Oh my companions, this sheep is insignificant to you. I take a qasam by Allah that dunya is more insignificant to Allah than the sheep is to you. And my friends, today, over this dunya, we are sacrificing our akhirah. In the hadith of Muslim, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam informed us of what's going to happen on Qiyamah. That on the day of Qiyamah, the richest person will be brought. The richest person. And Allah will ask him, that how was your life in dunya? And he will say, oh Allah, I had an amazing life. And today many Muslims dream to live the life of multi-billionaires. People say, I wish I was the owner of Tesla and now the new owner of Twitter. But my friends, what Allah has given you is greater than what Allah has given him. So the hadith mentions on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will bring a mega rich person. Ask him, how was your life in dunya? He will say, oh Allah, I had an amazing life. I never faced a single difficulty. Allah will command that dip him in Jahannam. Dip him into Jahannam. He'll be dipped, he'll be taken out. Allah will ask him, how was your life in dunya? And my friends, he was dipped for one moment in Jahannam. He had an amazing life. He comes out. Allah will ask him, how was your life in dunya? And he will say, wallahi, I take a qasam by Allah, in dunya I never had a single blessing. One moment in Jahannam made him forget his entire life of blessings. And then a poor Muslim will be brought. Allah will ask him, how was your life in dunya? He will say, ya Allah, I never had a blessing. I had misery, difficulties, musaib. And Allah Ta'ala will command, dip him into Jannah. He'll be dipped, taken out. Allah will ask, how was your life in dunya? And he will say, oh Allah, I take a qasam by you. In dunya, I never faced a single difficulty. Yani one moment in either place, Jannah or Jahannam, can make a person forget about his entire life in dunya. This is the value, my friends, of Jannah. This is the value of paradise. Imam Ghazali says that how do we explain the life of this world compared to the hereafter? Many youth believe that, Maulana, how can we live in Jannah forever? How is it possible to live forever? Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah mentions, if the sky was filled with seeds and every thousand years a bird was to come, take one seed, go home, if it has a home, bird's nest, and my friends, after millions of years, billions of years, the seeds would finish. Imam Ghazali says, billions and billions of years would pass, the seeds would finish, but the life of Jannah will never finish. And this is how the ulama made us understand the value of the hereafter. So my friends, open Muslim, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, wallahi, mad dunya fil akhirah illa mithla ma yaj'al ahadukum isba'ahu fil yam falyanzur bima yarji' aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The example of the dunya compared to the akhirah, a person dips his finger in the ocean, he takes it out, he sees that on his fingertip there's a small drop of water. And the hadith mentions that, and the implication is that a person has deducted a small amount of water from the ocean. But my friends, the dunya compared to Jannah is not even that drop on the finger compared to the ocean. And my friends, again I say that we are destroying our Jannah for the sake of dunya. And the Quran mentions two types of people. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءَ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. The Quran says that those people who intend dunya, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَ يُرِيدُ فَيَلْ مُضَارِئِ لِلْإِسْتَمْرَارِ. That Allah Ta'ala uses the verb in Arabic language to show a person who intends dunya. A person who intends dunya, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَ فَيَلْ مُضَارِئِ means he has to continuously chase after dunya. So Allah is showing in this verse that if your passion is for dunya, it's not sufficient just to want dunya, but you'll spend your entire lives chasing dunya. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ. But Allah says that even when you chase dunya, because a lot of our youth, they want to become multimillionaires. They have dreams. I'm going to invest in Bitcoin, I'll become a millionaire. My friends, subhanAllah, we have to ask the question that why are our youngsters driving 22 plates Golfs and they're on UC? This is the question to ask, that how our youth on benefits and they're driving around 22 plate cars? This is the question. And this is a dream our youngsters have, that we want to become rich, become billionaires, millionaires, and my friends, no effort is made. How is it possible to reach a goal without making any effort? So the Quran says that we will give of dunya what we want to whom we want. So you strive for dunya, it's not guaranteed you're going to get dunya. Allah Ta'ala says, we will give that amount of dunya to whom we want. But because you made dunya your destination, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. That because you made dunya your destination, Allah says, you're going to enter Jahannam disgraced and rejected. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. But whoever makes akhirat his purpose, whoever makes Jannah his purpose, and he makes effort for it, he has iman. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allahu Akbar, my friends, today, when we see somebody from our community, and they're doing social work, tidying up on the streets, or they're making a complaint on Facebook that certain swing in a certain park is not working, we know that the only reason why he's complaining about the park is because he won't stand as a candidate in the local elections. This is the state of our ummah today. The Muslim community, they only care about the parks when they want to stand for election. But my friends, why? Because hum izzat milegi, we'll get praise, we'll get recognition. And in COVID-19, many masjids and many Muslim organizations had, mashallah, received praise from the local councils, from even from the Queen, that we appreciate the great effort you've done. But my friends, when insan aspires that maybe I will receive an OBE or the MBE from the Queen. But the Quran says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعِيهُ مَشْكُورًا. That if you make akhirat your purpose, the Queen is not going to give you an MBE, Allah Ta'ala is going to give you an MBE. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعِيهُ مَشْكُورًا. Rather, my friends, MBE, OBE does not justify mashkura. Insan thinks the Queen appreciates my efforts, he becomes happy. My friends, Allah is saying in this ayat, you make effort, make akhirat your purpose, Allah, the King of all worlds, is going to appreciate your effort. So friends, what is akhirat and what is Jannah? In the hadith of Tirmidhi, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be 120 safs of people going to paradise, and 80 of them will be of those from this ummah. And when a person walks towards the door of Jannah, my friends, hadith of Tirmidhi, when a person walks towards the door of Jannah, just the door of Jannah is 3 days' journey long. Just the door of Jannah. And then, my friends, in regards to the last person who will enter paradise, the hadith of Muslim states. And my friends, when we say the last person to enter paradise, it means that individual who had no good deeds, he had an iota of iman, his whole life was full of sin. But he is the last person to be taken out of Jahannam and then put in Jannah. After that, no entry to Jannah and no entry to Jahannam. And the hadith of Muslim states, Allah Ta'ala will grant him a paradise the size 10 times of this world. So imagine, this is the Jannah of a person who enters Jannah last. What about that person who enters the first? The person who enters after the Anbiya and Ulama. And my friends, in regards to Jannah, what is Jannah? The hadith says, مَوْضِعُ سَوْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Bukhari and Muslim. That the place, the amount of a whip, the amount of a whip, a person who is given Jannah the size of a whip in Jannah, that amount, just that much, my friends, it's better than dunya and whatever it contains. But the hadith does not say a person will be given that amount. The hadith is saying, you shall be given a minimum of 10 times this world. But even if you are given just the amount of a whip, it will be better than the dunya and whatever it contains. And then in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, hadith al-Qudsi, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذْنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. I have prepared for my righteous slaves in Jannah that which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no thought has crossed any mind. Allah Ta'ala has prepared this for those who obey Him. In Muslim, an announcer will make an announcement that, O people of Jannah, there is no more illness, there is no death. My friends, our greatest worry, no old age. In Jannah, an announcement we made, no illness, no death, and no age. Old age. In Tirmidhi, on Qiyamah, when everyone has been sent to Jannah and Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala will bring death in the form of a ram. And Allah Ta'ala will give death to the ram as an indication that death has been given death. لِيَزْدَادَ حَسْرَةً. My friends, the ulama mentioned that the people of Jahannam, when they see that death is no longer and they are going to remain in Jahannam, they are already facing this hasrat, this sorrow that we are in Jahannam. But when they see that the Jahannam will be forever and ever, this will increase them in sorrow, that we are never going to get free from Jahannam. And in the hadith of Tirmidhi, my friends, a person will be hairless. Common, I get a question, Morana, can I shave my chest hair? You know, unfortunately, many youth, you have this question. Why? Because we've lost that masculinity. We see on Instagram and we see models and we think this is the peak of beauty. And the youth want to, even the male youth want to shave off all the hair, the leg hair, the chest hair, the back hair. My friends, hair is a sign of a man. And really, living in the West, with the promotion of the LGBT agenda, it's important that we stick to masculinity. This is important for a man. But anyway, in Jannah, the hadith mentions that a person will be hairless he'll have no beard. That's what ulama mentioned. A person who shaves his beard or trims then less than a fistful, he is calling himself an advanced jannati. An advanced jannati. That you are describing yourself, you are adorning yourself as an advanced jannati in dunya. My friends, in dunya, we have to keep a beard. Allah Ta'ala will allow us not to keep a beard in Jannah. And then my friends, a person will always remain at the age of 33. And your clothes will never get old. Every Eid comes, our youngsters spend £200-£300 on designer clothes. The next Eid comes, new designer clothes. And subhanAllah, now today we have youngsters, I know that they have a haircut on Saturday. Within 1 week, they're going to have another haircut. Why Morana is grown 1 centimeter? Now, our youth are so concerned about their looks, mashallah. But my friends, this is already guaranteed for you and me in Jannah. And then the hadith of Muslim states that a person will not spit or blow his nose in Jannah. After he eats, he'll sweat, and my friends, and he'll burp. But I must make a disclaimer here. The sweat is not the sweat of JD Gyms, and nor is the burp of an elder in Tarawih. The hadith mentions your burp and your sweat will be greater than musk. So Allah Ta'ala is not going to inconvenience you even in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And then in the hadith of Tirmidhi, each man shall be given the strength of 100 men. 100 men. Talk about being the biggest bodybuilder in the UK. You know, our youth on today on Snapchat, mashallah, they do deadlift. I don't know what you call it, because I've never been to the weight side of the gym. But they pick up 200 kgs, and I was with youngster on Thursday for iftari, and he said, Morana, with leg press, I did 400 kgs, and he was very proud of himself. So many youngsters, they do 400 kg, 300 kg, and mashallah, very, very proud. The hadith mentions in Jannah, Allah Ta'ala will grant you the strength of 100 men. Allahu Akbar. And then in the hadith of Tirmidhi, it mentions that a person shall be given a bracelet. And let me make it clear, jewelry for men in dunya is haram. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam cursed those men who imitate women. Jewelry is only for women. And now we see a rise in men who wear earrings. The Messenger of Allah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has cursed such people. Any form of jewelry, a bracelet, a chain, it's haram in Islam. And the hadith mentions that a person shall be given a bracelet in Jannah. And his bracelet will shine to the extent it would make the sun look dull. This is the brightness of the bracelet of Jannah. And in the hadith of Ahmad and Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a person will spend 1,000 years, just 1,000 years, looking at his wives, his couches and his blessings. 1,000 years, my friends, looking at his wife. And my friends, today you have a bank holiday, you will go back to work. Tirmidhi, the lowest level jannati, my friends, shall be given 80,000 servants. 80,000 servants. My friends, those who are in the political class in Pakistan, India will know that our politicians in Pakistan, India, they have great pride that I have 10 people surrounding me. And even when they go for Umrah, they have people surrounding them and they feel happy, I have an entourage. My friends, a jannati will be given an entourage of 80,000 people. And then my friends, a person shall be given a crown on his head, and that crown will be full of pearls. And each pearl, even the smallest pearl on the crown, will light up the space between the east and the west. And a person shall be given a mansion, not like those in Pakistan, my friends, 3 floors and a person writes mashallah on the front. No. A person shall be given a mansion in paradise, 60 miles high. 60 miles high, my friends. But what is the mansion made of? The hadith mentions of Ahmad and Tirmidhi that the brick is made of gold and silver. The clay is made of musk. The gravel is made of pearls and rubies. And the mud is made of saffron. You know, I have a friend and he's using a Chinese brother to do his extension. He tells me, Morana, he's using all the cheap materials. My friends, there's no cheap materials in Jannah. And the hadith mentions the rooms are so clear. The rooms are so clear that you can see inside from outside and outside from inside. This is the clarity even of the rooms of Jannah. And a person, each Jannati shall be given a tent, and that tent should be covered in pearls, 60 miles long. And in each corner of a tent, my friends, you'll have a wife, in each corner. Now the question is, in dunya, when you have two or three wives, they're jealous. So the hadith mentions each wife in each corner will not be able to see the other wife. No ikhtilaf. And the hadith mentions there will be 100 ranks in paradise. 100 ranks. One rank is in Jannah is enough to encompass the entire creation, but Allah Ta'ala has made 100 of them in Jannah. And then the hadith mentions that we will see the higher occupants greatly like stars in the sky. Ya Rasulullah, who are these? Are these Anbiya? And the Messenger of Allah said, no, these are people who believed in Allah and did good deeds. So friends, the hadith is telling us Jannatul Firdaus can be reached even by a normal Muslim. You don't have to be an alim. You don't have to be a hafiz. You have muttaqi, a person who obeys Allah and abstains from sin. Allah Ta'ala will grant you al-firdaus. And my friends, in regards to the clothes of paradise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a cloak from Kisra, who was one of the leaders of the world at that time. The companions were amazed by the beauty. Ya Rasulullah, is this cloak from paradise? Is this cloak from paradise? And the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam said, no, my companions, this cloak is not from paradise. The handkerchief of paradise is better than the cloak I've been gifted. And then Ka'b says, he says, as mentioned by Ibn Abi Dunya, that if people were able to see the clothes of Jannah in dunya, if it was possible to see the clothes of Jannah in dunya, insan would fall unconscious. And ask me about the trees of Jannah. My friends, the hadith mentions that there'll be a tree similar to a pomegranate tree. When a person walks towards that tree, it will give you 70 pairs of clothes. 70 pairs of clothes. You take whichever one you want, and then the tree will return back to itself. And no trunk in Jannah, no tree trunk in Jannah, except it has been made of gold. And the ayah I mentioned in my talk last week, Qutufuha Daniya, a person will be sitting, he'll see a fruit, he'll desire, I want to eat from this fruit. Quran says, Qutufuha Daniya, without any movement, my friends. Even better than, Alexa and all of these machines you speak to and they close your light for you. Without any movement, the branch will lower itself to your mouth, you'll eat from it. Once your heart is satisfied, the branch will move back into its place. This is how Allah Ta'ala has prepared blessings for me and you in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And it mentions in Ibn Dunya, a person will see a bird, the flying one, right? A person will see a bird and he'll want to eat from that bird, my friends. And without a moment's delay, the bird will come in front of him on a plate. And ulama mentioned, if a person wants the bird cooked differently, half of it will be fried and half will be grilled. However you want it, my friends, Allah Ta'ala has given you. Whatever you want, whatever your heart desires, Allah Ta'ala has made it for you in Jannah. And each Jannati shall be given rivers of milk, water, honey and wine. And these rivers, according to the hadith Ibn Majah, will flow from mountains of musk. But my friends, what about the wine of Jannah? Those who work with those who intoxicate themselves on a Friday and Saturday night will know that you drink a couple of glasses of whiskey or wine. What happens, my friends? Intoxicated, you have a hangover, you have a headache, you fall out your friends. But the Quran mentions, La fiha ghaul. The Quran mentions, Yusqawna min rahiqin makhtum, khitamuhu misk. That the people of Jannah shall be given to drink from sealed wine. And my friends, the seal of the wine will be made from musk. And tell me, if the seal is made of musk, what about the wine itself? But the wine of Jannah, my friends, is not going to intoxicate you. It's not going to give you a headache. It's going to give you a pleasure which you've never tasted before. But I mentioned my talk yesterday, Hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. Man sharib al-kham fi dunya. A person who drinks wine in dunya and does not repent Allah Ta'ala will deprive him of the wine of the hereafter. So those people who have not touched sharab in dunya, Allah Ta'ala will grant them the wine of paradise. But if you're a Muslim and you drink wine in dunya, Allah Ta'ala will deprive you of the wine of the hereafter. And in one narration he mentions that when a person comes into Jannah, he'll desire a drink of wine. My friends, you won't have to go to the bar to pour in a drink. You're sat there, you're desiring a drink. Within a moment, a glass of wine will fall into your hand and you'll drink that wine. And then ask me about the couches of Jannah, muttaqi'een. The hadith mentions, but the Quran mentions, bata'inuha min istawraq. The couches and the bedding of Jannah are such that the lining, my friends, the lining of the couches and the beds of Jannah will be made of silver brocade. This is just a lining of the couches. Imagine the beauty of the beds and couches itself. And there's a hadith in Musa Bazaar that a person will visit the bazaar once a week. Once a week he will visit the marketplace, and a wind from the north will blow. And when he returns to his wife, my friends, his wife will say that since you've returned from the market, you have increased in beauty. Is there a man here that can say the same for his wife today? Our only concern after the husband or the wife goes to the market is how much we spent. And the hadith mentions, my friends, that when a person enters paradise, Allah will ask the inhabitants that, are you content? Are you happy? And they will say, oh Allah, you have given us everything, whatever we've asked for, you've given us. And Allah will say, should I give you something greater than my Jannah? And we will say, oh Allah, what can be greater than your Jannah? And Allah will say that I make an announcement that I am happy with you. فَلَا أَسْخَطْ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدَ أَبَدًا. After today, I will never be displeased with you. And this is the greatest blessing of Jannah. That Allah announces His pleasure and says, I will never be displeased with you. And in some narrations we find that a person shall be shown, Allah Ta'ala will show Himself to the people of Jannah, and because of that, people will forget the pleasure of Jannah. And as I come to the conclusion of my talk, I wanted to mention just a few points regarding Hur. In the hadith of Tirmidhi, and my friends, some Islamophobes object to this, but there's a hadith in Tirmidhi where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the lowest level Jannati person shall be given 72 wives. A person shall be given 72 wives. And he'll have a palace, and the hadith mentions the distance between that palace is the distance between Yemen and Syria. And ulama worked it out and he said it's 1300 miles. 1300 miles, and a person will be given 72 wives. And let me answer this objection, my friends. People say that Islam is a religion which encourages such vulgarness. My friends, when a non-Muslim is married and he has extra partners, and today I'm shocked at some of the articles I read. You know, many non-Muslims are in open relationships. So they're married, but they allow their husband or their wife to sleep with other members of the public. And that's not looked down upon. But when a Muslim is promised that you protect your honor, you safeguard your chastity in dunya, and Allah as a reward will give you 72 wives in Jannah, my friends, how dare you object against this reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This double standards. So Allah Ta'ala will grant a person in Jannah 72 wives. And in the hadith of Muslim, when a person enters paradise, his wife will say to him, all praise be to Allah who made you for me and made me for you. So my friends, that hur of paradise has been created just for you. Never seen any other man, never talked to any other man. That hur has been made only for you. And in the hadith of Tabrani, we find that the women of Jannah will sing for her husband. Allahu Akbar, my friends. And ulama mentioned this will be one of the great blessings of Jannah. When a person hears the melodious voice of his wife in Jannah. My friends, this is something I'd say, don't try at home. Otherwise, every home will become Britain's Got Talent, right? So the women in Jannah will sing, my friends, and a person will be mussed in the beauty of her voice. And a person's trance by listening to her voice will be like in another world. And her skin, my friends, will be so beautiful, it will be like white pearls. And the hadith of Bukhari mentions If the woman of paradise was to glance, my friends, glance. If the woman of paradise was to glance towards the dunya, she would fill the space between the heaven and earth with light. She would fill the space between the heaven and the earth with light. And the hadith mentions that her scarf, just her scarf, is better than dunya and whatever it contains. Ka'b says, as mentioned by Ibn Dunya, that if she was to dangle her finger from the skies into dunya, the whole world would light up and it would make the sun look dull. Ibn Abbas says, may Allah be pleased with him, if this is the beauty, the light of her finger, then what's the beauty and light of her face? Ata As-Sulami alayhi rahmah said to Malik bin Dinar that if death had not been given death in Jannah, so if it was possible to die in Jannah, insan would die when he sees the beauty of the hur. And my friends, there's a hadith in Mutalib al-Aliya, Ibn Hajar mentions it's authentic. A person will enter paradise and he will see someone very beautiful and he'll fall into sajda. And the person will ask him, what are you doing? Why are you doing sajda to me? And he'll say, are you not my Lord? The nur on your face, are you not my Lord? And he'll say, no, I am just one of your 80,000 servants. And then he'll say, go through this door and he'll have 70 doors. And my friends, behind each door will be a separate wife. And I finished on a couple of lines of Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi. Ibn al-Qayyim says, whilst describing Jannah, he says, if you ask about its ground and soil, it's made of musk and saffron. If you ask about the roof of Jannah, then it is the arsh of Allah. If you ask about the rocks of Jannah, they are pearls and jewels. If you ask about the buildings, they are made of bricks of gold and silver. If you ask about its tree, then no tree except its trunk is made of gold and silver. If you ask about its fruits, they are softer than butter and sweeter than honey. If you ask about its leaves, they are softer than the softest cloth. If you ask about its rivers, there are rivers of milk whose taste does not change. And the rivers of wine is delicious to those who drink it. And the river of honey is pure. And the river of water that is fresh. And you ask about the food, that its fruits from whatever they will choose. And the meat of whatever birds they desire. And if you ask about the drink, it's tasneem, ginger and kafur. If you ask about the drinking cups, they are crystal clear and made of gold and silver. If you ask about the shade of Jannah, then a fast rider would be in the shade of one of its trees for over 100 years. If you ask about the vastness of Jannah, then the lowest people of Jannah would have within his kingdom and walls and palaces and gardens the distance that we traveled in 1,000 years. And if you ask about its tents and encampments, then one tent is like a concealed pearl 60 miles long. And if you ask about its towers, there are rooms above rooms in buildings that have rivers running beneath them. And if you ask about how far it reaches in the sky, then look at the shining star that is visible, as well as those that are far in the heavens that the eyesight cannot possibly see. And if you ask about the clothing of the inhabitants, then they are made of silk and gold. And if you ask about its beds, its blankets are of the finest silk laid out in the highest of its levels. So friends, as I finish, I firstly wanted to express my gratitude to Hazrat Mona Qasim Sahab Dhambarakatuhum that he has sat through all the programs as Hausla of Zai for myself. And Allah Ta'ala reward the Intizamia for organizing these programs, and in the words of Yasir Master, we'll see you next year. So I want to finish on just a couple of points of advice, inshallah. Number one, I urge all of you to seek knowledge. There are three efforts of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam as per the Quran. Three efforts. Number one, seeking knowledge. And the first one, my friends, the most important for our community, is seeking the knowledge of aqidah. Allah mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that truly, indeed, it's only the ulama who truly fear Allah. Qasim al-Ulum al-Khairat, Bani Darum Deoband, Hujjat Islam Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanotvi rahmatullahi mentions that what is the reason the ulama fear Allah the most? And Mona Qasim Sahib mentions it's because of their knowledge of Aqeedah. That because in Aqeedah, the sifat, the qualities of Allah are discussed. And because when you ponder over the sifat of Allah, it increases the awe of Allah in your heart. So Aqeedah is the bunyad of innama yakhsha Allah min ibadil ulama. And according to many of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, the Asha'ira, especially, they say that the person who has iman but does not know evidence for his iman, a person that does not know evidence for his iman is not valid. So if I was to ask, what is the evidence that Allah Ta'ala is Qadir, that Allah Ta'ala has all the power, Allah is able to do whatever He wants, so I'd find that there would be a gathering of silence more than a nikah majlis. But ulama mentioned that Qadir, Allah being Qadir, means Allah Ta'ala has power over everything. What is the evidence? Number one, Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah Ta'ala has power over everything, Quranic ayat. But the logical evidence of Allah being Qadir is, what is the opposite of Allah being able? The opposite of Allah being able is Allah being ajiz, Allah being incapable. If Allah is incapable, it means Allah Ta'ala would not be able to create the world. And incapability is a defect, and we believe Allah is free of defects. So naturally, it's wajib for us to believe that Allah is Qadir. Do you understand? This is just one small point. But ulama mention a person that does not know the basic dalail of his aqidah, his iman is not mu'tabar. This is an opinion of Ahlul Sunnah. So my first point is to seek knowledge. And we always say that a person who seeks knowledge, the angels put their wings under his feet. And the fish and the birds make dua for his maghfirat. So I've always wondered that why do most of our youngsters, our elders, finish learning at 16? I've never found in the hadith it mentions the angels put their wings under your feet until age 16. If someone's found that, you can inform me. So knowledge should never finish at 16. Constantly seek knowledge. Always learn. Secondly, my friends, there's also a jamaat here. Allah Ta'ala reward them for their sacrifices. One of the great efforts of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the noble effort of Da'wah and Tabligh. And this is a responsibility of the Ummah to convey Islam to every Ummati, to every Muslim and non-Muslim. And one of the greatest ways to build a person's iman and to build your zahir, the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salam, to build your iman, to build your salah, to build your sunnah, is the effort of Da'wah and Tabligh. And the third mehnat of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the effort of tazkiyah. And because I have a meilan towards tasawwuf, so I have to mention something about this. Hazrat Thani writes, it is fard, it is an obligation for every person to seek his Islam. Every person. And my friends, it's almost impossible for a person to have his Islam done without tasawwuf. And Hazrat Thani writes under the ayat, wa yuzakkihim. Babi taf'il means ta'diyah, which means it requires somebody else to make tazkiyah upon you. So friends, ilm has a maqsad, tabligh has a maqsad, and tasawwuf has a maqsad. To become a person who carries all the sunnah, a person must engage all three, especially for members of the public. You may not be able to become alim, but certainly you can attend tabligh and sit in the company of the sulaha, mashayikh al-kiram. And you are very blessed that you have Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Darwan Sahib. May Allah keep his shade over you. A great alim and a khalifa, Hazrat Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sahib. I would urge the brothers here to request Hazrat to hold a regular zikr majlis, islahi majlis. Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki Sahib, rahmatullahi, has written a kitab on Ijtima'i Zikr. And that he mentioned in the time of Hazrat Ji, Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Qanri, rahmatullahi, there used to be a zikr majlis in the markaz. So yani, this is the way of our kabir as well. Ijtima'i Zikr and Zikr gathering, this is not something new. This has been the manhaj of our kabir, even the kabir of tabligh. So these are three efforts you must take, my friends, because many of us, we have adorned our beard and our jubba and our kurta, but my friends, we all know what filth we hide in our hearts. Illa man atallah bi qalbin salim. And this pride and jealousy and su'idhan that we are hiding in our hearts, my friends. We smile from our faces, but we are frowning in our hearts. This is the fact. We smile on our face, but our hearts are frowning. Why? Because our hearts are not made. I finished on a line of poetry. Nigahe wali mein wo ta'thir dekhi. Nigahe wali mein wo ta'thir dekhi. Hazaron ki taqdeer badalti hui dekhi. تو آخر میں آئی ریکویسٹ حضرت مولانا قاسم صاحب کہ دعا فرمائیں. ہمارے قابل نے ہمیں بتایا ہے کہ دعا میں اول اور آخری درشی پڑھتے تاکہ جو درمیان میں ہو جائیں وہ قبول ہو جائیں. تو کیونکہ پہلی دعا بھی کرایا اور یہ آخری مجلس ہے تو امید یہ ہے کہ آپ کا پہلا دعا آخری دعا اور جو بقایا جو درمیان میں بیان ہوئے وہ بھی قبول ہو جائیں گے ان شاء اللہ.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. یا ودود یا ودود یا ذا العرش المجید یا مبدی یا معید یا فعال لما یرید نسألك بنور وجهك التي ملا أركان رشك نسألك بقدرتك التي قدرت بها على جميع خلقك نسألك برحمتك وسعت كل شيء لا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا أنت يا مغيث وغيثنا يا مغيث وغيثنا اللهم إنك مليك مقتدر ما تشاء من بني يكون اللهم إنك مليك مقتدر ما تشاء من بني يكون وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم اللهم إنا نسألك بأننا نشهد أنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل على محمد عبد ورسولك وعلى المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب رب اغفر لهما وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب اغفر لهما وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة توفنا مسلما والحقنا بالصالحين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم بارك لنا في الموت فيما بعد الموت اللهم سهل علينا سكرات الموت اللهم سهل علينا سكرات الموت اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من فتنة عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال ومن فتنة المحيا والممات اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما بقيتنا ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم ويسر لنا خزائن علمك سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم اجعل خير عمري آخره وخير عملي خواتمه واجعل خير أيامي يوم ألقاك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين اے اللہ آپ بڑی قدرت والے ہیں. اے اللہ آپ تو وہ ہے کہ بغیر ماں باپ کے حضرت آدم کو پیدا کیا, بغیر ماں کے حضرت حوا کو پیدا کیا, بغیر باپ کے حضرت عیسیٰ علیہ السلام کو پیدا کیا. اے اللہ آپ تو ایسی قدرت والے ہیں کہ اتنا بڑا آسمان بغیر پلر بغیر ستون کے بغیر کھمبے کھڑا کر دیا. اے اللہ آپ تو ایسی قدرت والے ہیں کہ اللہ اتنا بڑا آسمان بغیر ستون کے کھڑا کر دیا. پتھر میں سے اونٹنی نکالنے والا آپ ہے, سمندروں میں راستہ بنانے والے آپ ہے, خلیل اللہ کی نار نمرود میں حفاظت کرنے والے آپ ہے, نارے نمرود کو خلیل اللہ کے لیے گلے گلزار بنانے والا آپ ہے. یا رحم الرحمین یونس علیہ السلام کی مچھلی کے پیٹ میں حفاظت کرنے والے آپ ہے. تین دن اندھیریوں میں آپ نے حفاظت کی, مچھلی کے پیٹ کا اندھیرا, سمندر کا اندھیرا, رات کا اندھیرا. اے اللہ ہم بھی بہت سارے اندھیروں میں گرے ہوئے ہیں, اے اللہ رحمت کی رسی ڈال کر نکال لیجئے. اے اللہ جس طریقے سے آسمان کو زمین پر گرنے سے روکے رکھا ہے, اے اللہ اس طریقے سے ہم گناہوں کے دلدل میں پھنسے ہوئے ہیں, اے اللہ ہماری بھی حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ جس طرح آپ چھوٹے بچے کی حفاظت کرتے ہیں, اے اللہ اس طرح ہماری حفاظت فرمائیے. پیارے اللہ پیارے اللہ حضرت یوسف علیہ السلام کی کنویں میں حفاظت کرنے والے آپ ہیں, یوسف علیہ السلام کو کنویں سے نکال کر عزیز مصر بنانے والا آپ ہے, بیت اللہ کے ابابل کے ذریعے سے حفاظت کرنے والے آپ ہے. یہ اللہ ذلت کے نقشوں میں عزت دینے والے آپ ہے, عزت کے نقشوں میں ذلت دینے والے پہلے آپ ہے پیارے اللہ. ہدایت ملنے کے بعد گمراہی سے حفاظت فرما, کامیابی ملنے کے بعد ناکامی سے حفاظت فرما, عزت ملنے کے بعد اللہ ذلت سے حفاظت فرما. پیارے اللہ ساری دنیا کی طاقت ہے, آپ کی طاقت کے مقابلے میں اسپائیڈر کے جالے سے زیادہ حیثیت نہیں رکھتی ہے. ساری دنیا کے خزانے آپ کے خزانے کے مقابلے میں اے اللہ مچھر کے پر سے زیادہ حیثیت نہیں رکھتے ہیں. اے اللہ آپ کا وہ غیبی خزانہ جو نہ کبھی ختم ہوا نہ آئندہ کبھی ختم ہوگا, اے اللہ اس غیبی خزانے سے دنیا آخرت کے سارے مسائل کو آسان فرما دیجئے. سب سے بڑا مسئلہ پیارے اللہ دنیا سے جب روانگی کا وقت ہوگا, اے اللہ ہم کمزور ہے, نفس اور شیطان ہمارے دشمن ہے, اے اللہ آخری وقت میں ان دونوں دشمنوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرمانا. اے اللہ جب تیرے پاس آنے کا وقت ہو تو زبان پر کلمہ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ جاری کر دینا. سب سے بڑا مسئلہ پیارے اللہ قبر کا ہے, کیسا منظر ہوگا, تھوڑی دیر کے اندر دوست احباب بیٹے رشتے دار بنو مٹی کے نیچے دفنا کر چلے آئیں گے. اے اللہ ہم اکیلے ہوں گے. اے میرے پیارے اللہ قبر کے مسئلے کو آسان فرما دینا, قبر کے منزل کو آسان کر دینا. سب سے بڑا مسئلہ میدان محشر کا ہے, زمین تانبے کی ہوگی, سورج سوار نیزے کا ہوگا, آسمان فولاد کا ہوگا, نفسا نفسی کا عالم ہوگا, کوئی نیکی دینے کے لیے تیار نہیں ہوگا. پیارے اللہ میدان محشر میں ہماری حفاظت فرمانا. اے اللہ آپ کے عرش کا سایہ نصیب فرمانا. اے اللہ وہ اعمال اور وہ اسباب اختیار کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما جس سے آپ کے عرش کا سایہ نصیب ہو جائے. میرے پیارے اللہ رحم و کرم خیر و عافیت کا معاملہ فرما. پیارے اللہ آپ کی بے شمار نعمتیں بارش کی طرح برستی رہی, آپ کی نعمتوں کا استعمال کرتے ہوئے آپ کی نافرمانی کرتے رہے. اے اللہ اس ظلم عظیم کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ, اے اللہ حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جو امت کا درد اور امت کا غم اور امت کا فکر لے کر آئے تھے وہ ہم نے چھوڑ دیا. اے اللہ یہ سب سے بڑا ظلم عظیم ہے. اے اللہ اس ظلم عظیم کو معاف فرما دیجئے. پیارے اللہ, پیارے اللہ معاف فرما دیجئے. اے اللہ صغیرہ کبیرہ دائیں بائیں آگے پیچھے چاروں طرف دیکھتے ہیں تو گناہوں کے ماؤنٹن نظر آتے ہیں, بدن پر کب کبھی تاری ہو جاتی ہے کہ یا اللہ کیا ہوگا, نا امیدی چھا جاتی ہے. لیکن پیارے اللہ جب قرآن کریم میں آپ کے پیارے پیارے اعلانات کو دیکھتے ہیں, آپ فرماتے ہیں نبی عبادی ابن الغفور الرحیم, اے میرے محبوب میرے بندوں کو خبر کر دو کہ میں بڑا بخشنے والا ہوں, بڑا رحم کرنے والا ہوں. کہیں تو آپ فرماتے ہیں قل یا عبادی الذین اسرفوا علی انفسہم لا تقنطوا من رحمت اللہ, کہہ دیجئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اے میرے وہ بندو جنہوں نے اپنی جانوں پر زیادتی کی ہے وہ اللہ کی رحمت سے نا امید نہ ہو. پیارے اللہ جب آپ کے ایسے پیارے پیارے اعلانات کو دیکھتے ہیں تو ہماری نا امیدی ختم ہو جاتی ہے. اے اللہ آپ 70 ماؤں سے زیادہ رحم کرنے والے ہیں. پیارے اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دیجئے, اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دیجئے, اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دیجئے, اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دیجئے. اے اللہ آج تک آپ کی نعمتوں کے بارے میں جتنی ناقد بھی پیارے اللہ معاف فرما دیجئے. پیارے اللہ جو بیمار ہے گھروں میں یا ہسپتالوں میں پیارے اللہ خزانہ غیب سے ان تمام کو شفا کاملہ عاجلہ دائمہ مسلمہ نصیب فرما. پیارے اللہ پوری دنیا میں جو امت مسلمہ پر جو حالات ہے اے اللہ اپنے فضل و کرم سے دور فرما دیجئے. اے اللہ وہ اعمال کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرمائیے جس سے آپ کی رحمت متوجہ ہو, جس سے آپ کی رحمت متوجہ ہو. میرے پیارے اللہ رحم و کرم فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے محترم مکرم اے اللہ حضرت مولانا یوسف صاحب اے اللہ بڑی محنت مشق کے یا رحم الرحمین تکلیف اٹھا کر اے اللہ پورے رمضان مبارک کے اندر اے اللہ سنیچر کو اتوار کو اے اللہ ویکن کو تشریف لاتے رہے اور ہمارے نوجوانوں کو اے اللہ فائدہ پہنچاتے رہے. اے اللہ آپ کا وہ خزانہ غیب جو کبھی نہ ختم ہوا نہ آئندہ کبھی ختم ہوگا اے اللہ اس خزانہ غیب سے اے اللہ مولانا کو دنیا آخری میں بہترین بدلہ نصیب فرما. اے اللہ تندرستی کے ساتھ خیر و عافیت کے ساتھ ان کی زندگی میں خوب برکت نصیب فرما اور اے اللہ ان کے فیوضات سے ان کے علم سے پوری دنیا کو مستفید فرما. یا رحم الراحمین ان کے آنے کو قبول فرما, شرف قبولیت سے نواز دیجیے, آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا دیجیے. یا رحم الراحمین, یا رحم الراحمین. اے اللہ جو کچھ انہوں نے باتیں بتلائی قرآن حدیث کی روشنی میں اے اللہ ان کو ہمیں اپنے عمل زندگی میں لانے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا رحم الراحمین, یا اللہ پورے مجمع کو قبول فرما, پورے مجمع کو قبول فرما. اے اللہ حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے بھلائی کی لائیں گی جتنی دعائیں مانگی ہے وہ ساری بھلائیاں ہمیں اور پوری امت کو نصیب فرما, اور جن جن برائیوں سے پناہ مانگی ہے اللہ ہمیں اور پوری امت کو پناہ نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہماری اس دعا کو حضور پاک سنت فعل میں صحابہ کرام کے تو فعل میں اصحاب بدریین کے تو فعل میں جتنے بھی آپ کے نیک بندے جہاں کہیں دنیا کے جس کونے میں موجود ہے ان کے تو فعل میں ہماری دعا قبول فرما, ان کے تو فعل میں ہماری دعا قبول فرما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وعلى المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات, صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا, ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.